When I graduated without honors, I had $150 per month in trust. I was in the Depression, and there were no jobs, and I couldn't think of any job I wanted, in any case. I drifted around Europe for a year or so. Remnants of the post-war decay lingered in Europe. U.S. dollars could buy a good percentage of the inhabitants of Austria, male or female. That was in 1936, and the Nazis were closing in fast. I went back to the States. With my trust fund, I could live without working or hustling. I was still cut off from life as I had been in the Midwest suburb. I fooled around taking graduate courses in psychology and jiu-jitsu lessons. I decided to undergo psychoanalysis and continued with it for 3 years. Analysis removed inhibitions and anxiety so that I could live the way I wanted to live. Much of my progress in analysis was accomplished in spite of my analyst, who did not like my orientation, as he called it. He finally abandoned analytic objectivity and put down an out-and-out con. I was more pleased with the results than he was. After being rejected on physical grounds from 5 officer training programs, I was drafted into the Army and certified fit for unlimited service. I decided I was not going to like the Army and copped out on my nuthouse record. I'd once gone on a Van Gogh kick and cut off a finger joint to impress someone who interested me at the time. The nuthouse doctors had never heard of Van Gogh. They put me down for schizophrenia, adding paranoid type to explain the upsetting fact that I knew where I was and who was president of the U.S. When the Army saw that diagnosis, they discharged me with the notation, "This man is never to be recalled or reclassified." After parting company with the Army, I took a variety of jobs. You could have about any job you wanted at that time. I worked as a private detective, an exterminator, a bartender. I worked in factories and offices. I played around the edges of crime, but my $150 per month was always there. I did not have to have money. It seemed a romantic extravagance to jeopardize my freedom by some token act of crime. It was at this time, and under these circumstances, that I came in contact with junk, became an addict, and thereby gained the motivation, the real need for money I had never had before. The question is frequently asked, why does a man become a drug addict? The answer is that he usually does not intend to become an addict. You don't wake up one morning and decide to be a drug addict. It takes at least 3 months shooting twice a day to get any habit at all. And you don't really know what junk sickness is until you've had several habits. It took me almost 6 months to get my first habit, and then the withdrawal symptoms were mild. I think it no exaggeration to say it takes about a year and several hundred injections to make an addict. The questions, of course, could be asked, why did you ever try narcotics? Why did you continue using it long enough to become an addict? You become a narcotics addict because you do not have strong motivations in any other direction. Junk wins by default. I tried it as a matter of curiosity. I drifted along taking shots when I could score. I ended up hooked. Most addicts I have talked to report a similar experience. They did not start using drugs for any reason they can remember. They just drifted along until they got hooked. If you've never been addicted, you can have no clear idea what it means to need junk with the addict's special need. You don't decide to be an addict. One morning you wake up sick, and you're an addict.